the main speaker for today. Mr. Rossellini, on the platform will be Mr. James Blue, the resident director of the Rice Media Center and a fellow at the American Film Institute. And also joining us on the panel will be Mr. Al Milgram of the University Film Society. And if you care to. Rather than do this in a formal manner with lecture, it's Mr. Rossellini's wish, and I think it would be much more profitable if we proceed in a manner that is informal. And I will begin by asking you a question, if I may, and then I'll join you. The campus, I think, has been, one would not say inundated, but certainly we have had a large number of films that purport to be political films, films with a political message relevant to our time. And I think, as an opening question, I would like to ask Mr. Rossellini if he sees the film The Rise to Power of Louis XIV as a political film. Does it have a political message, and if you would comment on that question as an opener.
I answer from here?
Please.
Well, surely it's political, because everything is political at hand, you see. But it's, I don't try to convey any message. I'll try to look at the thing and to show the thing as they are. So that's a moment of the history which is quite important. After the fall of the Roman Empire, for centuries and centuries, the people, they pretend to continue the Roman Empire, and everything was called the Roman Empire, you know. That was the tremendous confusion. And the Louis XIV, he has the conception of the of a new kind of organization, of a new kind of state, with the kind of state they were more or less in our world till 1 hour ago, perhaps, you know? That's the kind of thing. So surely it's also political, but no message from my side.
Why did you make Louis XIV? Why have you moved from films that are fiction toward to historical and scientific films?
Well, because I think that we have that magnificent thing, are the images and the sound, and why not to use those kinds of things even in the ground of the research or a better orientation. I think that each one of us needs tremendously to be orientated. And we need so much to be orientated that we, if we are not capable to get ourselves our own orientation, we grab the orientation of somebody else and we follow that kind of orientation, you know?
For instance?
Well, anything can happen in life is like that, you know, that we can act so much by imitation instead by our own freedom, you know. And I don't know if you remember last year, the UNESCO, the United Nations, you know, UNESCO, what kind of organization it is, the year was dedicated to education. And the president of the UNESCO made a message who he says something I think is very important. He says that in our world of today, where the changes are going on so with such a tremendous speed, the education must be not anymore considered like a preparation of life, but education must be part of our life. Now, I think that through the media, we can do an operation like that. Not mainly through the media, but also with the media. And because I think to satisfy the curiosity is a good entertainment. We are all curious, and we can satisfy our curiosity just hearing all the sort of gossip, but also those kind of gossip, because they are also gossip, those kind of things, you know, why not? So I think it can be very amusing to satisfy our own curiosity. That's my point, it's very simple.
Do you think that do you think that a man does not have at his disposition now the kind of information he needs
I think we have no information, or at least we have an information not well made, not spread. We have a lot of information of slogans, of if we call to make the confusion between information and propaganda is so easy, but propaganda is one thing and information is another kind of thing. And so we need also a cultural information if we want to be oriented.
I think that we could keep this more on a give and take basis if we've mentioned to you that you're allowed to interrupt, ask questions. There's a microphone right out there. I don't want to make it seem to you that we're having an official panel. Mr. Rosalini asked us to leave it open to you for anything you have to say. So, and if you're not near a microphone, just scream it out. And if I hear it, some others don't, we'll try to repeat the question.
I am curious myself, you know? So, please satisfy my curiosity putting a question.
There's a question in the back of the room. Yes, sir.
Might one say that structurally you try to postpone the ideological message until such a point that the actual conduct or the comportement or the actual doing a political thing is established? Do you feel the slogan or the caption for an action can only come until, or can only come after having laid out what the relationships in a political endeavor actually are, and partly they may be non-verbal?
Well, if I rightly understand your question, because you are so far, I kept catch some word, not all the word. But anyway, surely the slogan, they are the result of political thought. But those who they receive the slogan, they have not the preparation, you know, they have not the chance to for them, a slogan means something else. It's not the what you can say, the resume, what you can say, the resume of a thought, but is an aggression. Perhaps it's, I don't know, but I think it's like that, more or less.
Yes.
Yes, I was very impressed by the technique used in this film. I think most of us are post-World War II children, were war babies. We've been very much conditioned to seeing historical films as usually being very extravagant and flamboyant. I think this film is most impressive because it wasn't overdramatic. You didn't use a lot of cinematic effects. It was a very realistic portrayal of what I thought life would have been like then. And yet, impressed, I'm also somewhat interested in the limitations of your technique. For example, did you see Pontecorvo's Battle of Algiers, the Battle of Algiers? Did you see that film?
No, I haven't seen it anyway.
Well, you know something about it.
Well,
what
yes.
I wanted to know was, is the technique you used in this film, would you say that it would lend itself to a treatment of something like that, which you have to have certain dramatic effects? In other words, aren't there limitations to this technique? I think it was very good for this, but I just wonder how limited it is.
Well, you see, that's... I have very few ideas, but I'll try to have those ideas in my head quite clear. I'll try. I'm not sure that they are, but I pretend that they're clear. You see, finally, we are the product of our own history. So we must know our own history if we want to understand ourselves today. And from today, to look forward to the future in a better way. In a sense. Now, this is one of the points. So, I don't want to use an historical thing to make a show. It's not a show, it's an essay. It's an historical essay based on things, on facts, the reality. And I remain very close to the reality as the reality appeared to me. Now, second step, I must reduce the language, the style, to a very simple, to express the thing very simply and very directly. Otherwise, you know how the images, they are very easily seductive. And I don't want to seduce. That's another point, very, very important. I satisfied your question?
One aspect of it was, is it applicable to another kind of technique or another kind of subject? Is it only related to such an analytical?
Well, I don't know, you know, how you can establish what can be spread, what can be... I think the main thing is that to allow any human being to be himself, and that's all. You see, for example, I am the president of a school in Rome, Centro Sperimentale di Cinematografia, is one of the oldest school of movies. So, what kind of system you have to adopt to run a school? So my system is very simple in a certain way. We give all the facilities that we have, cameras and things, and all sort of technical information to the students. And the students, they do what they want to do. And we don't interfere at all. I refuse to interfere. I refuse to read a script. I refuse to give advice. Because it's so easy to make mistakes in giving advice. Why I have to create the damage of that poor guy who trust me, instead it's much better if he realized that he's wrong by himself, you know, that's, so it's a quite a, it's a system who is at the hand, it's a very cruel system, you know, because the people, they are left alone in a sense, and they are just facing their own responsibilities. So somebody tried to cheat, you know, and I, 2 o'clock in the morning, going back home, somebody coming, appearing, one of the students said, well, listen, yes, between us, you must be do me the favor to discuss a little bit my story. I want to tell you the story that I want to do. I say, no, why? Why I have to do, if I dislike the story? Or I must be honest and tell you that I dislike the story and perhaps my judgment is completely wrong. Or I can be hypocritical and say, wonderful, but you read in my eyes that I'm lying. So why to discourage you? You must be yourself. And that's the main thing, to be each one himself. And that fit with the language, with the style, with the technique, with everything, you see. We are dying. The movie is, I think, in a big crisis.
It's crisis.
Crisis. Well, he corrects me always in that word, but anyway. So I'm so confused, I don't know if I have to say crisis or crisis. Crisis.
Crisis.
Okay. Why? Because that's no new ideas are coming in movies. There are four or five subjects, and each one, as a great specialist, is dealing with that subject, and he says, well, you have said, I don't know, about the sex, I'll tell you now what to say about the sex. It's always the sex, you know. And you go, if you go on like that, the whole thing becomes very boring, you know. But if somebody comes with a very new idea, that's the fact. So now we must try to grab and to call for new ideas.
And the only way you can find new ideas is by letting...
I guess, but let them people do. So what will be the worst? They will do another mistake. Well, it's nothing. In the middle of the billions of mistakes made in the world every second, you can add that another mistake, nobody react to that, you know, it's...
Yes, sir, yes, you're right there. How was Paisan put together?
Well, you see, the reality in Italy was so complex, I must say, you know? And the confusion was so great that to build a film in a single story, I thought was absolutely nothing. So I pick up six stories, possible stories, or distortion of true stories enlarged by some other of the significance around, and that was made the film like that. I'll tell you, just to tell you how big was the confusion in Italy. A friend of mine, his name is De Filippo, is a great writer, he writes plays on the theater. He's unknown here, but he's really a great, great man, and he's Neapolitan. And he was going around Naples to have document about the so-called corruption of Naples. And when they learned that in the Pallonetto is one of the slums of Naples, a Neapolitan family show a black boy born in the family. So the people, they pay 5 liras to see the black boy. And the husband of the wife who get birth to that black boy was outside, and he get the 5 liras, you see? And De Filippo has gone there to see that horrible thing. And when he walk out, the man will recognize him and says, are you satisfied, etc. He says, well, are you not ashamed to show to everybody you are cockled by a black for 5 liras? And the poor guy says, well, you know, between us, I'll tell you, in the evening, we wash the child. You know, because the reputation of Naples was such a big corruption, and that poor family has to survive somehow, so they paint in black a white child, and then in the evening they wash the child. So how you can represent that truth, you know?
There was a question here before. Did you have one still? Yes.
In many of your films you have treated war, and perhaps you no longer consider making a film about war. But I can't help feel that a film about the American war in Vietnam is seen through your eyes.
Have you considered doing a film on the war in Vietnam?
Well, you know, I was showing our war, not the war of others, you know. It's quite difficult to go and to go in another country and to say, well, I'll tell you the truth, what to do. It's very difficult. And so I have not considered to go to Vietnam to shoot through the war.
You would approach it like in a dramatic reconstruction of any specific event?
Well, you see, and again, that's I'm very serious on that point. We are living in a tremendous confusion. And when I say we, I say we, the human being, because there's no difference between an Italian or an American, you know? The difference is based on the food. And you have better house, But you don't have the spaghetti, and we have the spaghetti. You see the advantage of our civilization. Now, what is the main thing? Is to be well-oriented, to understand. So to prove that we, human beings, we are making mistakes is the most easy thing to do, because we are making mistakes every second, you know? Now, can be another operation. Why not to resume all our things in the purpose to see if in the future it's possible to make less mistakes? You know, that's, and it's exactly my point.
Your question, yes?
At the end of World War II, I imagine there was, wasn't very much money in Italy, and I was curious how you were able to finance movies like Open City and Paisan.
How were you able to finance
well,
movies like
you know,
Open
the chance. The chance helped a great deal, you know? So when, during the war, we were preparing Open City, the problem to raise the little money to do the film was very difficult. So one day I met a lady who, she was from Milan, and she landed in Rome during the war, and she said that she has money, and she was ready to spend that money in a film, but because she didn't trust the filmmaker, she will start to give the money only the first day of the shooting, and the shooting going on, she will give us the money. So, with that hope, we have made the preparation. And the German, they retreat from Rome, they stop over Florence, and we start the film. And we realized that day, it was the day that she was supposed to open the drawer where she saved the money, that was no money. She was only crazy, you see. So, but we have started the film, you know? And from there, we had gone on, I don't know why, how, inventing every day something. And we found some crazy people who they encourage us, and they say, well, I'll give you the whole money you need, because, and in that hope, we had gone till the end of the film, but it was no money. From nobody. So I have to sell the furniture of my house. There were not much, but a little bit of money, and everything I had. So we finished the film. And last hope was a contract that we had with a distributor. The distributor in that contract put down that he will pay us 4 million of liras of minimum guarantee. 4 million of liras, not 4 million of dollars, is $6,000, something like that, you know? And when we deliver the film. So with that hope, we edit the film and we deliver the film, and the distributor refused to pay the 4 million of liras of minimum guarantee, because he said that for lack of the object of the contract, he says that in the contract, was said that I have to deliver a film, and Open City was not a film. So he refused to pay even those 4 million. That's the story.
At that time, it must have been difficult to find an adequate supply of film stock.
The adequate supply, no film stock at all. You know, there were photographers around Rome, because everybody was inventing new kind of job, you know, to survive. After the war, everything was destroyed. The 32,000 bridges, they were destroyed in Italy, you can imagine. That's just to give you a... And so there were a lot of people with the Leica camera making photos in the streets.
Little 35 millimeter photos.
So they used the 35 millimeter. And then there were the rest of film, I don't know, 10 years before. So. We have those, we buy those kind of things. So in a box, we didn't know exactly what kind of film.
You bought the photographer camera rolls for little
small
cameras?
The negative used by them, you know, in the box, they have little rolls, little piece of film. So one piece was 3 meter, no use. Another was 20 meter, means 60 feet. Well, we use that, you know? So every take was based on what kind of shape of film we had, you know?
But how did you get to start using long takes?
When I have the 1,000 feet film, not before.
That's how Eisenstein started. Short takes. Yeah.
But there we were absolutely obliged to use the short takes.
Some of the critics have said in a film which has not been shown much in America, Rogopog, three or four part episode in which Jean-Luc Godard has one piece. This is your farewell to the cinema. Does this mean farewell to the cinema, hello television, or is this, what brought you to this point, if the various reviewers and critics are correct?
Yes, they are correct, I think. You see, again, I repeat what I said before. I think that the film can be used for another purpose. And it's exactly the purpose that I try to serve, you know? That's the purpose to help orientation, to supply news, to supply right information, to supply a little bit of knowledge, because, you know, even for making the Louis XIV, you have to read quite a number of books and to research a lot of things, you know, about medicine, about the daily life in Paris, about the daily life at the court of the king, and to read a lot of the correspondence of the king, so you can feel everything is said in the dialogue. For example, is transforming dialogue what are taught in letters, you know? That's
how do you get people to... sorry, there's another name. Yes.
In the film, there's an absence of ostensible emotion. The emotions, the way the characters talk, is flattened out, sometimes almost a monotone. And I wondered if this was a deliberate choice.
Everything is deliberate.
Yes. To what extent was this dictated by, the decor of the period, by the fact that we're working with non-professionals, and also by the contrast of rather ridiculous, kind of absurd events that go on?
Well, you know, everything is deliberate. And so again, if you want to intrude yourself being an author, and to say to everybody, "Now, I'll show you what I am," that's a very easy position. Even dealing with non-professional, you have no idea how the non-professional they can act loudly, you see? And that's absolutely deliberate. Because the main thing is to convey what is inside, not what is exterior, you see?
If you didn't use actors, how did you get non-professionals, such as the ones you used, to speak tirades, speeches that lasted so long?
And was well, many ways. We have built little radios and we put in the ear of the... and we suggest all the lines, so that's easy.
An earphone, a radio in the ear, and you spoke the lines to them?
Yes, that's somebody else. I don't want to do that. But I have a microphone. I can interfere. And I said, "Idiot, what you are doing? Speed. Slow down." And I interfere all the time.
And so they were hidden in the wings.
Yeah.
Well, Ed, you seem to place a higher value on information per se than on attitude toward information or... I'm sure you get into arguments with Marxists who say the thing is not to understand the world but to change it. How would you reply to that?
Well, but I answer, you know, how to change the world if you don't understand the world? The first step is to understand, and from there you can go on. But we live in a tremendous confusion, I think, no? I am confused, and I hope many other people are confused like me. I don't want to be the only person confused in the world. So I'll try to put in order some of my ideas, and I hope that somebody else liked that order. That's all.
Well, would this be a fair conclusion from seeing Rise to Power of Louis XIV, that politics is a matter of putting on and taking off clothes, or power is a matter of taking on and putting off clothes?
Sure.
You wouldn't agree to that, would you?
Well, he was a very shrewd man, and he knows man much better than me. And he knows very well that to appeal to the vanity of people was a very strong way to seduce them, you know? Because the reality he has to face was la fronde, was the revolt of the noble against the king. That was the thing. So for him, the main purpose was to reseduce the nobles. And he knows very well, and I learned through him, that they were very vain. And he used vanity just to reseduce them. So he's a very shrewd man. He's really a politician, I must say.
Yes, sir. The role of the scriptwriter as it's changed from Open City to Louis.
Well, it's more or less the same, you know,
planning
because everything, I think, till the last second, when you put in film, from that moment it's impossible to change, you know, because otherwise it costs too much. So I must leave myself free till the last moment. I know what I have to say. I have the documents, I have various dialogue of each scene, I have the argument of the scenes, and till the last second I leave myself completely free, and the dialogue are written down, the final dialogue are written down just before the take.
Is that dialogue invented?
Well, no, those dialogues, they are not invented, but you have to deal with the material that you have, you know, that...
You found it, how? The dialogue, how did you discover it? How did you come upon it?
Reading the things. If the dialogue is based on document, you have to deal with the document. So you have to find a way to make the thing very clear. That's the only thing, you know. If one thing goes and it's tied to the other, the whole thing turned to be very clear and very logical. That's the only effort that we try to do.
One of it, yeah.
In what sense are you a Catholic director? I mean, with capital C. What importance do you give the role of Catholicism in your career as a director?
No importance. No importance at all. I am a man, and I have a certain kind, bad or good, capacity of making film and images, that's all, you know, but I am not, I pretend not to be an art, I am not an artist, that's I am sure, I am not, and I refuse to be an artist, and I am just a worker, that's all.
How do you understand the word artist?
Well, I don't know, the way everybody understands, you know, he's a god or a semi-god, he has illumination, he knows everything, and he has the taste. I have no taste, I have nothing at all. I'm a human being living on earth and liking the spaghetti, as you see, and things like that, so that's all.
Yes. Why non-actors, and have you done this for several years?
But because I am always attracted with the non-actors. You see, that's completely another kind of work. When you work with an actor and when you work with a non-actor. An actor, he has his own capacity, he knows how to do the things, but he's full of fear because he wants to have another success, etc., etc. So you can manage very little with an actor, you know? You are too much bound to him. With a non-actor, he's a poor innocent who comes there with little hope to win the lottery, that's all, you know? And he's in your hand, totally. And he's more funny.
Yes.
Did you choose such extensive use of zoom lens because you like the effect, or was it also an economic consideration to save time and money?
Economic consideration. I save a lot of time, you know.
The use of the zoom lens.
I made that film in 23 days. And because the worker in France, they were on strike, I was not allowed to do any sort of extra work. They were on strike for the extra work, you know. So I have 5.5 hours every day, no more than that.
Well, with a bigger budget, no union troubles, would you use it as much or would you use more sets?
No, like that, because it's so boring to work. I want to get rid of my work as soon as possible, you see.
There was one over here.
A little bit more voice, please. But you see, fortunately or unfortunately, we are always human beings. And the human being, they have a tremendous capacity to be intelligent and to be stupid and to be confused. So we are always in the middle of those kind of things, you know? So there's no change. The dress, they've changed. The certain kind of thing. They had the car with the horses, and now we had the car with the pollution. But those are very little difference, you know?
Yes?
How typical is Louis XIV, the kinds of things that you've been seeing on Italian television, and how successful?
Yeah, is Louis XIV typical of the kinds of things that can be seen on Italian television, and how successful are those kinds of things?
Well, I'll tell you that, you see, the television organization in Europe are different than here. They're state television. So because they are state television, you have the way to bargain or to push them to do certain kind of thing. So they must satisfy certain kind of social needs. One of the needs is, again, or culture, what they call culture. We use that word, but we don't mean the same kind of thing, you know? Anyway, and so through that, you can push them to put some money on those kind of things. And now they are so happy because the audience react quite well to those kind of things. The audience accept those kind of things, you know? Before they have the conception that the audience is dumb, stupid, absolutely incapable to pick up things, etc., etc., etc. And you must feed the habits of the audience. Well, you break the habits, and if you do the thing honestly, what the audience is capable to understand, because the audience is formed by human beings. And the human being, they have the same number of neurons in their own brain, and so they are capable to reason and to pick up the thing and to understand. There are people who are more ignorant and people who are less ignorant, or they pretend to be less ignorant because they have a little, like a slice of prosciutto, of ham, you know, of knowledge, and they pretend to be wise. That's not true.
Is there any possibility of your other 10, 15 films you've made for television, perhaps equal to the quality and terrificness of Louis XIV? Is there any chance of these films ever being seen in America? You've probably been in conversation with.
Well, Again, you see, because I am always so short of money, I'll try to sell. But I don't know if I can achieve. Anyway, if you want to see the film, I think it's possible to see the film. As soon as I have a copy available, because, for example, one of the films is The Struggle of Man to Survive, is 12 hours. So I think that nobody has the courage to go through 12 hours of projection, but you can split in pieces, you know? But a copy costs a lot of money, so as soon as I have a copy available, I'll send it to you.
I know that in Italian people, well, there's an Italian English version also, right?
No, not yet. But I'm trying now to do an English version.
There is a question here. I didn't want, before I get, yes, sir.
Could you tell us how long it took you to shoot Paisa and some rough idea of the budget?
How long and how much for Paisa?
Well, Paisa, the budget of Paisa was nearly $80,000. Very high budget for me, at the moment, at least.
How much was Louis?
Louis was 130,000, something like that.
It's the cost of a short subject in the United States. You have made several projects which you're still planning to shoot. One of them, the Conquistadores, another, the Industrial Revolution, another, Caligula.
Science.
The journey through science, knowledge, and one on student revolt. I know, for instance, that you were very moved by the student action in Paris in 1968, and it set you to thinking about the entire problem. What do you attribute it to, in general?
What?
The revolt, the student rise and reaction.
But because most probably they have the courage to say what we, when we were students, we have not the courage to say, that the school was tremendously boring. I think that we passed through the year of school very boring, not understanding at all what was the goal of the school, the purpose of the school. But we were good boys and we put eyes on the teacher, sleeping, but open eyes. That's, you know, you get the training to... And we had not the courage to say that it's boring and we don't see the purpose of that school. And now, some people, they have the courage to say, that's the difference. And outside of that, that's I think it's quite a serious talk. You see, mainly the school, till today or yesterday morning, not so far than that, was copying what was the school before. So the school was conceived for a world was absolutely still. You know, you have to pass through centuries to reach Copernicus and Galileo, who they say that the Earth was not the center of the universe. And after centuries to get another news, you know? So the whole humanity was built on the past. And the school, the main purpose of the school was always to repeat the man of yesterday. And now perhaps we need the preparation of the man for tomorrow. That's the kind of switch and changement. And again, I think it's absolutely right what the UNESCO said last year, that education must be not anymore considered as a preparation of life, but as a part of our life. So, it's exactly what I'll try to do with my films, you know? So, to look back to our history, because we are the result of our histories, no doubt. Ourselves, with all our ideas, all our political views, we are the product of our history. So we must relook at our history. And we must look even a little bit to the present and to have an eye in the future, at least to the fact that they are preparing the future. That's a fact that in those last two centuries, since the Industrial Revolution, the main need for the development mainly of technique, et cetera, was a man absolutely specialized on things, just to speed out those new kind of thing coming up. Now we have collected so much knowledge that we must use that knowledge. So the needs are different. We don't need any more a specialist, but we need people who they are capable to see the whole and to be orientated in the whole. That's.
Are you saying that we should discontinue producing specialists in certain areas?
Well, I think it's a great need of today. We don't need any more the specialists. We'll continue to build the specialists, but I think that we don't need any more specialists. We need everybody's hoping for a new kind of humanism. What means a new kind of humanism? Means nothing or means everything, you know? So that is perhaps one of the points. To be ready to understand a lot and to be orientated in that lot. That's, I think, is the...
Yes, there's a question.
No.
A film of which?
The La Divina Commedia, no. But it's so far from my capacity, you know. I am a great admirer of Dante, but that's all. Well, you see, but why to go through apologues? Apologues is an English word. Allegory. Why to go through allegory? Because you see, my English is completely guessed. I know that if I use an Italian word and I pronounce that Italian word in a certain way, turn to be English. So that's all. I never learn English. It's completely guessed that way. So that's the reason why I use apologue instead of allegory. You know, allegory for us has another sense, but it's near, you know. So why to be allegoric when you have the chance to be inside of the thing? It's more exciting, I think.
Yeah, it can be
approached on so many levels. Well, I agree with you, but why you don't do the Divina Commedia in film? That's, you know, that's a need of you, and it's not my need.
Yeah.
The whole mechanic of the kingdom of the Louis XIV, he has invented the papier timbré, what you call, you know, the legal paper with the stamp.
Paper?
You are not persecuted with the stamp paper here, but we are persecuted in Europe with the stamp paper. Taxation. Well, taxation, I think we know a little bit about taxation, no? But tax.
Yes, no? That's right. Tax.
So those are invention of him. They were all the kind before him, but the way that he built the things is absolutely modern and is the thing to which we are dealing today.
Yes.
The relevance in part of this fashion, having lunch today with someone who knew and worked under the Kennedy administration, you may remember that Kennedy always appeared in the bitterest cold weather without a top coat and without a hat. And I learned at lunch today that Kennedy always wore long underwear and therefore looked very virile and could stand the weather, and this was part of the image. So I really don't think that it's quite so irrelevant as you have made out. Please.
Yeah.
You said that you're not an artist and you don't want to be one. I was wondering whether you would define the artist according to what we have always thought of as being an artist. In other words, whether the artist for you is the one who is using symbols. You're just trying, if I've understood your film and if I've understood you right, you're just trying to tell a story and tell it as clearly as possible without any intrusion or as few intrusions as possible on your side. Now it's very easy to understand that Jean-Luc Godard, for example, or Pasolini himself are doing really the contrary of this. They are really presenting symbols that must be interpreted and that show reality, in their opinion, much better than just telling a story, because they are the real reality, in their opinion. Symbols are much, much more representative than reality itself. So is this your way to say that you are not an artist? Is this what you mean?
When I say I'm not an artist, I mean that I am not an artist, no more than that. You see, till the last century, an artist was a man who was doing, through his own capacity, representing the things. If you go to India, not a single monument is signed by somebody. The man who has made the thing is absolutely unknown. Because what is important is the thing, they are there, not the man who has done the thing. You know, Michelangelo, he was an artisan, no more than that. He never pretended to be more than an artisan. And in the Romantic period start that idea of the artist, a semi-god, somebody above of all the other human being, and somebody having the power of God, you know, going with his own fantasy and judging and saying, you go to hell, you go to the paradise, you go to the, I don't know where, you know? So, and art was very important before, because was the expression of the thing going on, no more than that. If you never had the chance to go to Pisa, for example, it's an Italian town. You were there?
I'm Italian, come from Pisa, you know.
You come from Pisa. Ah, bravissimo. Anch'io, anche la mia famiglia. Also my family come from Pisa. Well, you remember during the war, il Camposanto Vecchio was destroyed by phosphor bombs, you know? And those frescoes, they were tremendously damaged. Now, they are frescoes of the 12th, 13th century. And everybody knows that in that time, they have no knowledge of the perspective, no knowledge of anatomy, etc. Now, they've get out of the wall the painting and back the remain the design, and you see that in the design the artist has a deep knowledge of anatomy, of perspective and everything, but he was so aware of his duty towards the others that he painted in a way that what would have been completely understandable for everybody, you know? He renounced to his own personality. He didn't make a piece of bravura, but he conveyed a message. And that's, I think, is the right position of a man. And at that time, those men, they were not called artists, but they were called artisans. That's the reason why I pretend to be an artisan and not an artist. I don't want to be a semi-god.
There's one part of that question I'd like to expand on. The question of the part that relates to Godard and Pasolini, and I might add Bertolucci, I think, employing symbols. artificially concocting an image in order to express an idea that I think that you touched to, and saying that this idea is more truth than simply reporting facts. Would you comment on that?
Well, that's a point of view. I am for freedom, and everybody is free to do what he thinks good to do. But my point of view is different, so that's all.
Do you feel that art should simply... let's see. Is there a danger in art that presents a strong statement?
Well, you see, is everything who is seductive is dangerous. And I think I don't want to be a seducer. That's all.
Why is it dangerous?
Because if you seduce, you deprive the seduce of his own choice. You know, he's seduced, so he's a choice, if you want to accept the seduction, but is no more his own intelligence working, but his own emotion and things like that, who is a lowest level than reason, than conscious.
You mentioned that it was necessary to have a dialogue. I wonder if you could...
Well, that's... But you have a dialogue with somebody who has completely different kind of ideas, or you can debate things. But if you have seduced somebody and that man come and admire you, but it's only boring.
Well, aren't there certain truths of fiction that might register more powerfully than the statement of the fact or the analysis of the causes?
Perhaps. I don't want to be against any sort of theory, but please allow me to be myself.
Examples of what in films would be seductive and cut off dialogue. I added that, I'm sorry.
But everything is so easily seductive film. I have passed through the age of seduction of film. So I was looking at Greta Garbo. You don't remember Greta Garbo, but I remember it was of my time. But I was seduced by Greta Garbo. I didn't mean at all what she was saying. I was just looking at her. You know, that's seduction.
What about in film technique? What seduces?
But the film technique is nothing at all. The film technique is something where there's no... you can say what is the technique of writing, or a thing is different if you type instead to use the pencil.
What I was getting at was that one of the things you say you reject is suspense, or the fabrication.
Is a way. Well, is a way of to seduce.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you implying by your way of making films that what we really miss today is a popular, in the sense of popolare, art that is understandable to everybody?
Surely.
There shouldn't be this kind of very complex and therefore very elitaire art.
We must try to revive the popular art, because that was the ground from which rise the sometime a very high artistical expression. Now the popular art is no more existing. Is existing what is called the kitsch. You know, is that's the thing. So we must try to reform the popular art, because the popular art is exactly the expression of everybody. And that is a very fertile ground, you see.
Let's try to someone else who hadn't spoken.
Do you think in your society there is a possibility to come back to this popular art now?
Yeah. Is there a possibility to come back to this popular art now in this state of society?
Well, you see, if we allow the human being to be human, and totally human, and not a crowd of people following that thing or that other thing, if we have really the conception of freedom of each individual from that freedom, surely will start again the expression of each individual or little group of individual, etc., etc., etc. That's, I think, one of the main point. You see, we are here, I don't know how many, 200 or 300 people. And when you will see me in a crowd of 10,000 people, or when I will see one of you in the middle of millions of people, each one of you, I can recognize immediately, because I know very well that you are a human being, but you are a little bit different from all the others, of all the millions that are around you. So that means that in each one of us is something very peculiar to him. And that is a great richness. Why to suppress that richness? That's a very important point, I think.
I think in relation to that, Roberto, you might add something about your plans for next year at Centro Sperimentale in leaving open something he was mentioning.
Well, I mentioned, you know, that's, so my school is built completely in freedom. First of all, we don't want the people who they come to the school to adapt themselves to the school, but we want to adapt ourselves to the students. That's one starting point, who I think is quite an important one, you know, because I think that it's important to save the personality of each one. And to save the personality of each one and to give to each one the chance to develop himself, you have to offer him the chance instead to impose him to copy models. You know, that's a very important point.
You said you mentioned that you were going to make available to public groups.
No, that experience has gone on 2 years. And we get some result from that. Result positive and negative too. But we are trying, and we don't pretend to solve the problem, but we try to solve, to understand the problem at least. Now, from next year, we do another kind of step. We widen that kind of experience. So we will base the school much more in research, or the ideal is to found something new. And something new, that means ideas, expression, styles, and everything. So give that chance to a lot of people. So the gentleman is asking some. Huh? Excuse me?
Yeah. He was wondering if you'd finish with your statement.
Yeah. No, I want to reach your point. So, and in that purpose, we have organized the school in a certain way. Well, one part of the school, one part of ourselves and the students will be available to supply voice to each one. From anyone from outside who want to say something, you know. So we are there at the disposal. A part of the school will be at the disposal of anybody, to the public. Yes.
That gentleman there.
No. Sorry.
Why?
Because I'm doing things, you know, and I work more or less 20 hours a day, and it's not enough. But unfortunately, I've not yet get the habit not to work 24 hours. I am incapable. So I'm doing the thing, and I'm quite old, and I have very little time to do what I want to accomplish. So.
You mentioned that you had seen a film that you liked.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, if one were careful, I think your humility would be stupid.
seducing me.
Don't be seduced.
I am very grateful to see the films like See You Do
keep it
as being anything but the product of a lot of hard work, crises of conscience, and yet you insist that art is something very chaotic. You're talking about Wong Palungwe, that anybody can do it. And I don't quite see it that way. It seems to me that, you know, you're a finished director, you know, you're somebody that people could learn from. And yet you're saying you have nothing to
Yes, but you see, if I get that position, if I accept that seduction, I'm finished completely. You know, because at that moment, from that moment, I will start to do things to build my own monument. I don't care about my own monument, you know. I care to be tied with the thing, with the curiosity of life, and every second is a new kind of curiosity rising, you know, that's, I think it's more exciting.
This is a tough one here.
How do your film students get financial support?
How do the film students get financial support?
From the school. It's a state school, and we have not a very large budget, but we have enough.
How many students?
Well, now, those last 2 years, we have only 29 students, because the main thing was to use our budget properly and to do some good for few instead to do a lot of bad for a lot, you know? That was the point.
Gentleman back there.
Well, because you are Italian? Well, so you know better than me that the two main points in the resistance, they were the communists and the Catholics. And a little bit Il Partito d'Azione, who disappeared immediately after the war.
Can you hear that he feels that the communist, the communist people supported the resistance much more than the Catholic people?
Yes.
And therefore, the distribution
I agree.
In open city is unequal.
I totally agree with you, but in some spot, for example, nel Veneto, the Catholic they were present, and in Rome, resistance was just at the beginning, they were present. But also in the Valle d'Aosta, and also in Milano, and also in Torino, they were a minority. I agree with you. But those, they were the two, I due poli erano quelli, non è che ce n'erano altri, no?
We have time for a few more questions. Yes, Joss.
Yes, I'd like to know, how do you go about choosing non-actors, and particularly, how do you choose a non-actor for colossal role like Louis XIV? Did you choose basically on the, does it look like Louis XIV?
Yeah, yeah.
Why
yes.
did you choose that particular
yes.
non-actor
yes.
for Louis XIV?
Yes, yes.
How did you do?
Yes, exactly like that. The Louis XIV was very short, was 1 meter and 50, so I don't know in feet how much it is. Is 3 feet, 3'6", I don't know, very short. So
1 meter 50,
and he was 2 centimeters more high than Louis XIV. That's that, and the same kind of face, you know. That.
Did you have an audition? Did you test?
No, never do that. Never do that. I take the chance.
Yes. What interest do you have in your own films?
No
and,
interest.
Do you own the rights? Your old ones. Yeah, in your old films.
Yeah.
And what do you own the rights?
Yes.
And do you ever see them again?
No, never. Never. I refuse to see each one of my films. So you see that I am not just making choice. I refuse to see anyone of my film. He knows me very well. Never enter in the hall when the film is running. Never. I don't want to see it anymore. If film is finished, it's finished forever. That's all.
All right. This one, and then we'll just take one more question. And so get ready. Cartridge Revolution. Because of your interest in education and TV, have you given much thought about the coming cartridge revolution, the films and information in cassette that you can buy at the grocery store?
I think that the cassette revolution is not existing, you know. That's is my point of view. Everybody talked about the cassette because the filmmaking is in a crisis.
Crisis. Beautiful. That's the first time he's done it right, too. This is a big day.
And so they grab everything. Instead to say, well, we were wrong, we must try to be not so wrong. Well, you know, they accuse the television, they accuse I don't know what. And I hope that through the cassette they resell the film, you know. But I don't think, first of all, the cassette are not existing. There are a lot of thought about, but they are not existing. Not a single of the system is capable to print thousand and thousand and thousand of of copies, you know? So that means it's not existing, the cassette.
Assuming it does become possible.
Well, at that moment, we have to think what to put inside of the cassette.
One more question? None. Okay.
I want to thank all of the panelists, and particularly Mr. Rossellini, for an excellent performance and a wonderful dialogue. I learned. I hope you did. Thank you very much. I would remind you that there will be other events in the Arts and Politics series, including tonight a convocation, Rock as a Reflection of American Politics, at 8 o'clock in Northrop Auditorium.